This is Warrior Sound on the road in Cleveland for the NBA Finals. I'm Lawrence Scott, and this Thursday, a practice here at the Quicken Loans Arena, and we will hear from Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Coach Kerr in just a bit, along with a one-on-one with Festus Ezeli. But let's start things off with a favorite segment of ours featuring the most interesting man in the NBA, Warriors assistant coach Bruce Frazier. Inside the queue, that being Quicken Loans Arena, in between games 3 and 4 on this Thursday, as we go not walking in Cleveland with Q, but walking the queue with Q. It's a segment that we forgot to do in Oklahoma City. We're a little bit busy in that series, but now NBA Finals, games 3 and 4. It's a mandatory media day, and we sit here as the players are talking and the coaches have kind of huddled, and I'm pulling you away, Warriors assistant coach Bruce Frazier, to have a conversation about what we need to look for in game 4. What is it that needs to happen a little bit differently than happened in game 3?
Great question. I mean, I think we're still sort of trying to figure that out, you know, as a coaching staff. Not that we're confused, but I think we were hopeful that we would compete better. I think the guys wanted to win. I mean, that's an obvious, but I don't think that we were focused enough. And the bottom line is we just didn't really compete. And maybe we thought it was going to be easier. Who knows the reason? Some of it's human nature. When you beat a team like we did for 2 games, and you show up and, you know, you've had your way with them a little, and they came out and fought, and we didn't match the fight. So I would say, you know, the mental approach has got to improve. And then strategically, there's a few things that we could do differently to take advantage of what they're doing to us. And then we got to get Steph going. You know, Steph hasn't quite been himself, but history has shown that he steps up. So I'm expecting, you know, Steph to be Steph here soon.
In reference to getting things going in the scoring department for Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and the guys that the team counts on to score, what are some things that have worked in the past to help kickstart, even the middle of a series, the catalyst for what will provide great offensive output, like we're used to seeing in the regular season and we've seen at different times during this postseason?
Well, without giving too much strategy away, I think, you know, running some different things for Steph and for Klay, throwing in some wrinkles into things that we already do to disguise actions that they may, that the, you know, that the Cavs may be used to, but you know, throwing some wrinkles in. And then honestly, we've got to defend better. You know, our offense begins with our defense, and that's a generic term, but it really does with us. And we weren't great defensively last night, so hence our offense suffered because we weren't able to get out and sort of push pace and spread the floor. And so I think we had problem areas all over, and it wasn't just what are you going to do offensively. It's like, one, how about if we compete? Two, what if our defense lock in and we're focused and we don't allow, you know, second chance points. Turnovers were huge for us last night, which is part of your offense. Like, you're just throwing the ball and all over and being mindless. And so a mindful approach, some strategic adjustments, and just some grit will help cure what we went through last night.
Well, last thing here, when you think about what this time of year represents, I mean, the coaching staff and the players are very, very focused on the task at hand. This is serious, serious business at this time. But do you find yourself saying, you know, this is the most enjoyable time of the year because of the energy that's around all of this?
I mean, it's super exciting, but it's hard to step away from the competitive element for me as a coach, like to sort of sit back and say, wow, this is cool, because you're in a fight. So I haven't, you know, been able to say, wow, this is super fun and exciting, because I feel like there's still work left to be done. So I think my hope is that, you know, that's what you do when you finish, and that's the joy of it all. This is still, you know, an honor, and who expected to be, you know, in 2 years in their second NBA final? I mean, it's all great, but it's only great if you win it all.
We are looking forward to many more seasons of walking in blank, that being whatever city, with Q, Warriors assistant coach Bruce Frazier. But we say thank you for all of the help with this segment this season as we are sitting in Cleveland at the Q with Q. We'll catch up again next season with our segment. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lawrence.
Also at this practice today on the floor of the Q, a conversation with Warrior center Festus Ezeli. Festus Ezeli joins us, and Festus, this is a team ready to rise to a challenge after a tough game three, but what are you guys looking to do to rebound in game four?
The biggest thing from game three was, you know, they hit us first. They were the more desperate team, as expected. You know, they were backed against the corner, and they played it like it was a game seven. We weren't shocked by it, but I think we were not prepared to play. And, you know, when I mean shocked by it, I think we knew coming into the game that we were going to get their first punch. But, you know, we weren't ready to absorb it and keep fighting. I think we made some careless mistakes, which is very uncharacteristic of our team. And so we're looking forward to coming back with a bigger fight in us tomorrow.
You know, the Warriors lead 2-1 in this series, and when you look at how the team has responded in the past, what are some things that have happened after a loss in a series, and especially looking back even to the Oklahoma City series where you guys have responded, what worked?
Getting back to playing like ourselves. They took us out of what we did yesterday. They were more physical than us. They out-rebounded us by 20. There's a lot of things that was very unlike us. So the game plan for tomorrow is to get back to playing like us. There's no magical formula. We've been through all sorts of trials and tribulations this season so far. So we know what to do. We know what to do in this case. We just have to come out and play physical and play like ourselves again.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Festus. Now to the talk at the podium, and we start things off with what Stephen Curry had to say on this Thursday.
Steph, Emilio Perez, Staff Deportes. I have two quick questions. Number one, which side is more important tomorrow? Do you guys need to have a better effort or a change of strategy? That's question number one. And question number two, what did you do as an individual to get yourself going when things are not happening the way you want them to happen?
It's all about our effort tomorrow, especially the starting five, how we start the game. Because you assume they're going to play with the same or with the same energy as they did in game three. And for us, we have to, you know, just stop that force that they play with in game three and come with more effort and more focus from the jump. And I just basically stick to my preparation and my kind of mental strategy of staying within myself to get myself out of a hole and not panicking, not overcomplicating things and not trying to psych myself out. So you know, there's a reason that I have confidence out there, and it's about how I prepare for games and for series and seasons and whatnot. So you got to stick with that kind of thought process.
Michael, over here.
Michael Lee with the Vertical. Steph, last year in the finals, it took you probably about 2.5 games to sort of figure out what was going on, what they were doing against you. I know that the first three games have been a bit of a struggle. Can you find any parallels between just maybe what it took you a while to get comfortable in the finals last year to maybe where you are right now?
I think it's a little different because game one this year, it was I just didn't make shots, and it was a kind of a different flow in that game. Game two was foul trouble. I wasn't out there, for the same amount of minutes that I usually am, and obviously us as a team were clicking, and there was a lineup out there that just was basically killing, and I was able to kind of sit and watch and enjoy what they were doing. And last night was a struggle, just again foul trouble and kind of dealing with that, but also not being as aggressive as I needed to be. And I don't know what the reason was for that, and it won't be that game four.
Steph, on the left. Go ahead.
Steph, Roz Goldenwode, CSN Bay Area. You said being more aggressive and you want to be more assertive, especially early in the game. What does that entail? What does that mean exactly? What kinds of things does that do?
Crisper passes, realizing where I am on the floor and how they guard me, whether I can get in the paint a lot more and make plays or look for my shot a little bit more, and just run the offense better than I did last night as a point guard. And obviously not have defensive breakdowns as well, especially on the road. We need to have all five guys locked in on that end so we give ourselves transition opportunities and give ourselves a chance to make runs. So basically, that.
Thanks. And Coach Kerr, after the game, called the team. He said you guys played soft. How was that received in the locker room? Why do you think he said that?
Because we were. We were, they were more physical. They were more purposeful about what they were doing. And it took us probably a quarter and a half to kind of respond. And by that time, it's too late. You know, you're down 33-14 on the road in the finals. You're not going to win many games with that kind of deficit. So, and a team that has confidence like they did last night. So, you know, the first 6 minutes of the game tomorrow is going to be important for us to, you know, let them know we're here.
Michael on the left.
Steph, Michael Grange from Toronto Sportsnet. How long did it take you to get comfortable once you kind of reached this MVP, all-star type status with the scrutiny and the criticism that usually comes with that kind of spot in the game? Or are you comfortable with it? How do you manage it?
I don't know if there's ever a point that you kind of break through, but it's all a pretty natural kind of process, I think. The more you go through games like last night or the Thunder series or, you know, lapses during the regular season where you're not playing, you know, up to other people's expectations, regardless of what you have, the expectations you have for yourself, you understand the emotions that come with it, the questions you're asked and whatnot. So I'm pretty comfortable where I am, and know, like I said, for me, every night I have a certain expectation for myself that's first and foremost, and if I don't reach that, then I'm pretty frustrated with myself and know kind of what's coming, and you just deal with it and move on.
Standing up. Motivation anymore, or does it still kind of give you something to?
No, I didn't get here off of motivation from other people. I know, like I said, how hard I work and what I'm blessed with. So, just gotta stay true to who I am and allow that to carry you through the good times and the game threes.
Got three more, two on that side, and Mark finishing up. Go ahead.
Mauro Bevacqua, official NBA magazine, Italy. How would you rate your finals so far?
We're 2-1.
Personally,
we're 2-1. We're up 2-1 right now, and the story is still unfolding.
Mark, and then Ron.
Steph, Mark Schwartz, ESPN. If you had to pick one thing about your play individually in this series that has really frustrated you the most, what aspect would that be?
Getting into foul trouble the last two games and not letting myself get a rhythm because of that. You're worried about, you know, staying on the floor and dealing with that, especially early in games, and the lack of aggressiveness. That doesn't necessarily mean more points or more whatnot. I know what that means for me when I'm out there playing, and I haven't done it yet.
Ron, last one on the side.
Steph, Ron Krajcik in the San Francisco Chronicle. How much is your success linked to Clay's, do you think, in the sense that Richard Jefferson was saying that if you get going, that tends to open some space for Clay and maybe vice versa. Do you think your the shooting success and struggles are linked much?
I mean, it's natural to think when I get going, I get more attention and you get more bodies, kind of like a magnet wherever I go on the floor. And then there's open spots for other guys, including Clay, and the same. You know, when a guy gets hot, usually that opens up things for other players on the floor. And you obviously love to see your teammate doing well, and kind of like in the Thunder series where he – you know, went crazy in game six and kept us in it. It got everybody going, everybody feeling good. So for us, that's an important part of what we do is, and I think for how we started the game yesterday, neither one of us got going and gave us anything to kind of feel good about. So got to correct that for game four.
Do you guys, if I ask one quick follow-up, do you and Clay specifically feel that burden that one of you needs to get going so everybody else will kind of catch that momentum or whatever word is right?
We're usually a better team when that happens, yeah. So, you know, I think like Clay said last night, the law of averages is, you know, you just stick with it. You got to play like it matters and do something about it. But I like our chances of being able to figure it out.
All right, let's listen into what Klay Thompson said to the gathered media here on the eve of Game 4.
Hi, Klay. Phil Barber, Press Democrat. Looking at the score sheet, you might conclude that the Cavaliers are determined to limit you and Steph as much as possible and make other guys do the scoring. Does it feel like that's true to you? And if so, are you comfortable with that equation?
Yeah, that sounds correct. I mean, it's felt like that the whole playoffs, you know, and the regular season. But I mean, that's fine. That's obviously how they feel is the best way to win. And, you know, obviously had great success last game, but games one and two, you know, you just got to reflect and see, you know, how great everyone else played. You know, you got to take what the defense gives you. If they're going to try and take away your shot, you know, just be aggressive to get good shots, but, you know, don't force anything. And last game, you know, when I watched film, there's a couple shots I probably forced, a couple bad turnovers. Just got to learn from it, though, you know. It's me and Steph will figure it out, but there's no time to press and try to get our numbers. I mean, like Coach Kerr said, it's a team game, and if they're going to take away what we do, other guys are going to step up, and they proved they have in the past. So it's going to be fun.
On the left, Ron.
Clay, Ron Krajcik, San Francisco Chronicle. Yesterday you said you'd take today to kind of rest. How's your thigh feel? What will you do today? And do you still feel the way you did about that play? You had some pretty strong words last night, and watching it, it didn't seem like he stick his knee out on the replay, but what do you think now?
I mean, I'm just going to ride the bike today, try and get it loose, but it's just sore. It's one of those injuries where it doesn't really hold you back, but it's just there and it's nagging. I mean, a lot of guys got those at this point of the year, so you got to play through it. But as I watched the replay, it might have just been bad luck too, you know. Knee to the thigh never feels good. I mean, I don't think he meant to do it maliciously, but usually when, you know, someone sets a screen, you usually do it with your chest or something. But I'm not going to hold a grudge. It's basketball. Just got to play through it and just get right, and, you know, I'll be good for tomorrow.
Again on the left.
Clay Roswell on what CSN Bay Area. What are they doing defensively to take space away from you and Steph? And you also mentioned watching video and maybe taking shots that you didn't want. I also heard you after game saying you guys want to be more assertive. How do you balance that line between being patient for the right shots but also wanting to assert yourselves in this series?
You know, I think they're just trying to run me and Steph up the three-point line as much as possible, and understandably so. Obviously, we can both get hot from there, so we realize that might have better success, you know, going to the rim or finding a teammate on the backside, or, you know, just trying to play make, because, you know, they're doing a good job of stopping our initial action. At least they did in game three from the, you know, top of the key with that ball screen. So for me, you know, I watched the film, and I kind of regret taking, you know, maybe six jump shots to start the game. I realized I had some good success going to the rim, and – you know, I realized in my pro career that if you get to the rim early, it's going to open up your jump shot. So I'm just going to look forward to being more aggressive tomorrow night and not just settling for jumpers, because it's easy when, you know, you can shoot well. So it's not about settling at this point. It's just about trying to go out there and make the right play.
Ramona?
Shelburne, ESPN. Last night, Steve Kerr sat in here and said, you know, we came out soft. And it's not the kind of thing that he normally says, but what did you guys in the locker room take him to mean when he said, we came out soft?
I mean, Coach is right. We did, you know. And anytime a team is up 33-14 on you in the first quarter, that was pretty soft of us. Obviously, give them credit. They got some incredible shot makers, and they came out with a sense of desperation. But we can't expect to just show up here, and that's on us. That's on our starting lineup. But we'll respond tomorrow. I mean, we've done it the whole year. And the best part about this team is everyone is so competitive that we're all embarrassed for game three. We really are. So, you know, we're going to have a better showing tomorrow, and I really believe that.
Any other questions? Last two on the left side.
Clay, Michael Grange from Sportsnet in Toronto. Being criticized is part of being a pro athlete, I've been told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you learn? Like, what is your strategy to kind of block that out when it starts coming? Or do you block it out? Do you read it? What do you do?
I mean, if you're going to read the good stuff, you know, you got to have the strength to read the bad stuff too. So that's a part of our job. I mean, we get paid a lot of money to get criticized. To me, it's not that big of a deal because I've learned, you know, it can change every game. We're up 2-0 and everything's feeling great, you know. And then you lose a game and, you know, it seems like the world's falling apart. But we realize that, you know, it is a big deal that the way we came out game three, but we can learn from it and you can take the bright side of every situation. Obviously, me and Steph have not been the most efficient from the field as you want, and we're still up 2-1. So that's a good sign, and you got to give the rest of our team a ton of credit. Our bench has been tremendous this series, and, I mean, I expect that production from them the rest of the series just because they've been so great all year. It's why we've had such a great season. It's our depth. So you kind of just shrug it off and realize that it's our job. I mean, we get paid to get criticized and praised, and you just live with it, you know. It makes you stronger, and you got to embrace the challenge of digging deep and finding a way to win. It might not be pretty, but at this point in the year, nothing's going to come easy. So, just like I said before, got to dig deep.
Thank you. Last one, back left.
Clay, Davide Chinellato, NBA Italy. Do you think you're going to change something in your game personally in game four, learning from what what went wrong in game three?
Yeah, probably not. Just it's a good question. I haven't watched a ton of film yet. I have watched some offensive clips, but today I'm going to use today to watch film. I can't give you all my secrets, though, man. You know, I know the Cavs are watching, so but I will make adjustments, especially on the offensive end and on defense. You know, I thought, obviously Kyrie was in a great flow. Last game, we can't, you know, give him those three-point shots he was getting. You know, you forget how good a shooter he is, and you just got to make everything tough on him. And we got to limit to what, you know, their other guys do besides LeBron and Kyrie. You know, Jefferson, Thompson, and Smith had a way too big of an impact that we wanted them to have. And if we're going to win, we can't have everyone on their team playing well, especially in the home court.
Finally, we hear from Coach Kerr as the Warriors get set for Friday night's action here in Cleveland.
When you make lineup changes, what are some of the considerations that go into it besides the obvious?
What's the obvious?
The obvious, you know, maybe this guy has been giving you more than the player he's replacing. You know, the numbers are better. But
yeah.
I'm just wondering, you know, you have to deal with egos, feelings, the after effects.
No, you never have to worry about egos and feelings. You just, not with our team. I mean, our guys are all understanding that you just, you know, you go with whatever the best lineup is. And our top to bottom, our team is professional and supportive of one another. So it's always just, are we going to be better off matchup wise? Are we going to be better off with a certain rotation that you know allows one guy to guard somebody specifically on the other team? It's just you know we watch the film and we make that decision.
What's the risk of combinations that maybe you haven't practiced or played before and now you're thrusting them into
the
situation?
I don't know that we have a whole lot of combinations that haven't played together before. You know, this team's been together for a few years, and we've had plenty of experience the last couple of years in the playoffs, so I don't think that's really a factor. We have a lot of guys who can play. We've played literally every single guy on our roster, other than Looney, who's been injured the whole time. But you look at the playoffs, we've played McAdoo, we've played Ian Clark, we've played Brandon Rush. So we're not afraid to play anybody, and we're always going to be looking for the best combinations in every series and from game to game.
In the center?
Paul from Le Sports China. Hello, Coach. Steph was caught in foul trouble early, several games in these finals. Do you know why he was so aggressive on defensive end? Was he trying to force or prove something?
Well, I thought in game two he committed silly fouls by reaching. I didn't think that was the case last night. He got called for a couple tough ones, but that happens. And he's just got to be able to play through that. It happens. It's one of those things. But he'll play better. I'm sure he'll avoid foul trouble. He normally does. And like I said, he wasn't reaching last night. It was more just kind of tough breaks. But I'm not worried about that.
Third row on the left.
Steve, Michael Grange from Sportsnet. In your playing career, you saw the kind of scrutiny Jordan was under.
Yeah.
Play good, play bad. You had to deal with it. LeBron certainly dealt with it. Steph is kind of maybe, I don't know, for the first time, but he's certainly getting his share of scrutiny at this point. Any advice for him? Do you pat him on the knee? What do you do?
I really don't even need to give him advice. One of the great things with Steph is he's so grounded. He understands how this process works. If you are in the limelight and you're the one doing the commercials and getting trophies, then you're also in the crosshairs. It's the way it works. And it's not like he's out there, you know, celebrating and enjoying all the hoopla and the accolades and then going home to his room and, you know, reading stuff and outraged, like, oh, my God, how can they say that about me? That's not Steph. Steph gets it. He understands. So this is all part of it. We're on the biggest stage, and he's had a couple tough games, so the criticism will come, and he'll handle it fine. That's what he does.
Thank you.
Again, same side.
In the past, Ty Lue has talked about reacting to what the other team does, not just your series, but throughout these playoffs. My question to you is, how is it determined? I mean, who takes that first step? Would you have to react to them, or do they react to you? Who makes that initial move that the other coach has to react to?
Well, every series is different, and sometimes a team will be preemptive and make a move right from the beginning. Usually, I would say what happens is teams adjust after struggles because you know if you get to the playoffs, you get deep in the playoffs. Generally speaking, you've played kind of a similar rotation, a similar style all year. You make an adjustment before game one. The team's kind of looking at you like, "What are we doing? Like, we're pretty good." So usually, both teams, I would say in my experience, kind of wait at least a couple of games before they make any dramatic move. And then it sort of goes back and forth from there.
Hi, Steve. Chris Herring from the Wall Street Journal,
behind the person who just asked
the last question. Hi. You guys won 73 games. Obviously, you probably aren't looking to have to make too many adjustments when you have a season like that. But generally speaking, with the lineup to use with Draymond at center, it seems like more often than not those lineups come in when you guys have struggled, and it's kind of almost like a break in case of emergency sort of thing. But when you look at those sorts of alignments, are there kind of limitations as to how much you can play that just to not burn guys out by playing them up a position? How much does it take out of someone to have to play them a position bigger than what they usually would.
Ryan, yeah, well, it's you know, we like to play a lot of people all year. We've played 10, 11 guys a night, and so we don't like to cut our rotation way down and play five guys 40 minutes. It's just not really who we are. And when we do go smaller, we generally do it in short bursts to change the pace up and change the look. And that can vary from game to game, from series to series. But, you know, it's not easy to play small for huge chunks of the game.
On the left side, Mark, Jeff, and Ron, last three.
Steve, given how they're defending Steph and given the nature of the officiating in the playoffs, is there anything that you can or need to do to kind of get him free and to put his stamp on this series once and for all?
Yeah, we can definitely help Steph out, and we will. We can put him in better position to catch the ball or to handle the ball and to come off screens and that kind of stuff with more space, and we'll do that tomorrow. And then the other side of it is just, you know, him playing better, and that's what the playoffs are about. You know, the coaching staff has to figure out the best lineups and the best looks. Players have to perform, and it's on all of us to be better.
When you see him have a couple of tough games in a short stretch like this, so unusual, What do you see in him as far as his reaction to his own play and his determination?
Well, just think about the OKC series, you know. Down 3-1, he hadn't played well. Look what he did the last few games. So that's Steph. That's who he is. He always responds. He's got a huge heart, competitive as hell. And extremely talented, and I know how he will respond. He'll play well. He always does.
Jeff on the left, standing.
Steve, Jeff Zilgit, USA Today. You're no stranger to making lineup changes, rotation changes, more minutes for one guy, less for another. What are the factors that go into those decisions for you to, one, make sure that you still have the locker room that, you know, or that someone's not so disappointed that it's creating a problem inside the locker room?
Well, they're all big boys, you know. They get paid a lot of money, not only to play, but sometimes to sit. You know, you have to accept whatever comes your way as a player, especially in the playoffs when everything is more easily changed, you know, because of matchups or lineups or whatever. So that doesn't concern me. We've done that. We have a very mature group, and you know, if we were to make any changes, I wouldn't worry about hurting any feelings.
Ron, last one on the left.
Steve, you've obviously fielded some questions about Steph, but Clay has also played below his standard. Are the Cavs defending him in a similar way to Steph? And do you see any frustration? I mean, he made some pretty strong comments last night about Mozgov's screen being kind of dirty, and it looked on replay like a pretty fair, hard screen. What do you see sort of in Clay, and what needs to get him going?
Well, first of all, none of this was an issue when we were up 2-0, you know. Neither one of them had huge games when we were up 2-0, but it didn't matter because we won. So, you know, now all of a sudden we lose a game and, you know, these become huge issues. This is what the playoffs are all about, you know, the spotlight and the speculation and the criticism and, you know, the dramatic change in perception about what's happening. You know, before, you know, I don't know, when did last night end? 11:30, so, you know, 14 hours ago, you know, 16 hours ago, everything was great. You know, we were doing great, and boy, what are the Cavs going to do? Or are they going to get swept? And, you know, they're a great team. They win a game. Now all of a sudden it's our lineup changes, and oh my God, Steph Curry can't play well, and what's Clay going to do? This is when you go through the playoffs, you understand that this is all part of it. And as a player, you have to feel that. You know, our guys felt it last year. Steph had a couple of rough patches in the playoffs. We've made some lineup changes. Clay didn't maybe have his best series in the finals last year. Who cares? You know, it's a team game. We get out there, we compete. Different guys step up and have big games. Other guys may not shoot the ball as well, but we all compete and we all play our asses off. And whatever happens, happens. But all this stuff about, oh my God, you know, what are we going to do? All we have to do is take stock. We're up 2-1. We're in pretty good shape. We haven't played that well. Let's play better.
Thanks for listening into our on-the-road coverage of the NBA Finals. I'm Lawrence Scott. This is Warrior Sound, the voice of Dub Nation.